All right, praise the Lord. All right, we got a bulletin. Miss Olivia spent a lot of time putting this together. And I suggest when there's a lot of advertisement like this, put it in a place at home that you can see it, right? And that way you remember all the good things that are coming. Amen? Or put it in your calendar. So that's why we do this, because we want you to be aware. Okay. All right. We're having a worship night this Friday. Amen? That means you come and worship the Lord. It's nonstop. Isn't that great? Just come. It's at 7, right? Correct? And the band and all the worshipers of the Lord be here. Enter in. Come with no hurry, right? Isn't that good? Just come. Enjoy the presence of the Lord and take that time. Amen? You come in, you worship the Lord. You feel you got to leave, you can. But there's no hurry. Amen? All right. I see everybody looking. The children are dismissed. I need Matthew here doing this. Can you tell? This is not my forte. Children are dismissed. Exodus, look at that generation. Woo-hoo! That generation's going to usher the coming of our Lord. Amen? Okay, so worship this Friday, Compass in Christ, July 13 at 6 at the Life Center. Fight your way to a better marriage. And any question? Okay.
Yeah, next Sunday, for the married couples, we're continuing. It's going to be taco night, and I put a, taco night. I put up a sign-up sheet. I also posted it in the WhatsApp, so make sure you sign up and let us know, okay?
All right. There you go, taco night. Woo-hoo. And then women's ministry, we are having our monthly meeting. It's going to be August 9. You're going to the next women's meeting Saturday, August 9. No. I'm sorry, Olivia. I probably gave you this wrong. I probably did. It's a Sunday night, so it's a Sunday night at 7. I don't know. Maybe we should do something August 9. July 27. Okay. That August 9 is the leadership meeting. Okay. Sorry, Olivia. I take responsibility. But anyway, instead of women ministry, it's leadership. It's going to be August the 9th at 9:30 in the morning, a Saturday. So if you are in leadership, you need to be here. Michelle is going to be ministering and picking up some of the points that Eddie Taylor bring. And you know how we want to refresh? And we want to keep on, right, to be a better leader. Amen. So if the Lord has called you to lead and ministry, this is a must, right, to get you strong and to help you. And the areas that she's going to be covering and all that is about communication. Anybody that needs to improve how we communicate? Yes. So we'll be... She'll be ministering that and bringing it. So please put it in your calendar, make time, and be here. All right. I think that's it. All right. Anything else? Am I missing? No? All right. Glory to God. So let's bless the offering. And at this point, the tithes and offerings that has been brought to the house of the Lord. And Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for the givers. We thank you, Lord, that you bless them. We cannot outgive you, Lord. You always bless us. So, Father, in the name of the Lord, we thank you for the hearts of those that have come and given from all that you have given us, Lord. Just a part. That's all you require, my Lord. And so we thank you, Lord. Give wisdom to the board of directors, Lord, to how to allocate all this that comes in. Father, so we have a place that we can come together and worship you in spirit and in truth. And Father, thank you. Thank you for providing, Lord, for this house and for this ministry and for everything, Lord. We appreciate you so much, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay. Father, I thank you that you have given us your word. Thank you that you did not leave us without a plan and a purpose, without a guide. Lord, you have sent us many guides to us. You have given us your word. You have sent your Holy Spirit. Father, you love us so much, and you have so much for us to enjoy that you want to give us. Father, help us to first of all acknowledge the fact that we need you, and then that we need all the things that you've given us. Father, they have a purpose, they have a plan in each one of us. So Lord, as you teach us and instruct us in your word and by your Spirit, Father, may we take heed to the things that you have made available to us, that we can be everything you've called us to be. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to understand. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, as you know, in this age of technology, technology and knowledge is increasing, you know, as in the passing of time. You know how scientists have spent billions of dollars a year, and many of those scientists spend years, you know, maybe lifetimes trying to hear a word from outer space. You know, this costly technology. And even in this country, and I know other countries are trying to do that as well, they're trying to get a word from outer space and spend tremendous resources to do that. And yet, God created us so that we can communicate directly to him. Amen. You know, this is one of the key points that we stress in this house, is you can hear the words of the Lord in your spirit. Adam and Eve never needed a lesson on hearing the Lord's voice. They were just created to be able to hear. And yet, you know, it was not, well, it was quite some time, but regarding us, it was not too long that in the time of Samuel, man, this thing doesn't want to do it. Daniel had to do it manually. You know, by the time Samuel came into history, from Adam to Samuel, that was, I don't know, 1,000 years or so. There was a scripture here in Samuel, in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. It says, part of it says, "And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation." People were not hearing from God. In fact, the King James Version doesn't use widespread revelation. It said open vision. The Lord was trying to reveal himself, but people were not seeing anything. And so it is the condition of the church in our nation this day. You know, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was given to the church so that the church would do the work of the Lord with power. Jesus had already told the disciples, "And you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world." And so the day of Pentecost comes in, and there were 120 people gathered up in an upper room in Jerusalem. And they were sitting and praying. And all of a sudden, there was a sound of a rushing mighty wind, and the place was filled with the presence of God. And all of a sudden, cloven tongues of fire appeared upon every one of those 120. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Languages that they had not learned or studied, they didn't know anything about, and they just say spoke it. And this noise was scattered all over Jerusalem, and people came around that upper room. And they saw those people praising God and singing and talking and prophesying in the language of the people. There was Pentecost was a big feast, and there were people, Jews from all over the world, that had learned new languages. And they heard their own language being spoken by these people that were, as we would call today, hillbillies. They were not educated people. Definitely not linguistics. Say, how can this happen? What is this? What does this mean? And obviously, as usual, some people say, they're just drunk. And Peter stood up. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 14, he says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. I guess nobody in Jerusalem drank in the morning. And he continued on and saying, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. This was a prophetic word from Joel many years before, the prophet Joel. And Peter quoted that scripture that day to the Jews. The Jews knew that scripture pretty well. Now the scripture says, sons and daughters shall, young men shall, your old men shall. It didn't say may. The prophetic word was they will, for sure. You know, I used to joke about the fact that I could not have visions but only dreams because I was an old man. You know, young men shall see visions. Well, I'm out of the young category, so I'm only bound for dreams. I used to joke about that. I don't joke like that anymore because the Lord rebuked me sharply. This is a very serious problem that the Church of Jesus Christ has today. We have ignored, we have neglected, we have forgotten the gifts that the Lord has given to his church. That's right. It's not a laughing matter. It's one that needs to put us on our knees and start asking the Lord, Lord, what am I doing to quench the flow of your gifts through me? Why are there no Josephs or Daniels among us today? Because we have neglected the language of dreams and visions, and we have turned them over to the enemy of God. Now the world is the one that had dreams and visions. The church doesn't, because the church has turned its back on it. Every one of us know very well that there is more truth beyond the scientific realm. The scientific realm, you know, you get scientific books and they have to change it every year because they cover new stuff. So there's so much more than just scientific information. Yet we as a church have a huge blind spot concerning dreams and visions. Even those of us who believe in the supernatural, we are so many times afraid of those areas. Ooh, dreams, visions, oh, I don't know. You're weird. We rather concentrate on a few warnings in the Word that speak a little bit against wrong use of visions and dreams. And so we throw the baby with the bathwater. We say, well, there's some warnings there, so let's throw the whole thing. Let's get rid of it. We have done this with many spiritual subjects in the Word. I hear of many, even denominations, that say, tongues are from the devil. We don't understand them. Let's throw them away. Let's condemn people who do. And so we throw the baby with the bathwater. And yet, the Bible is full of examples of God's use of dreams and visions to guide, to encourage, to warn, to enlighten, and to instruct his people. So what's happening? What do we do? What's the problem? The cause of this blind spot on the church is a very old problem. It is the thought that valid knowledge can only come through the five senses and through our reasoning, entirely dismissing the spiritual realm. Western civilization has swallowed this thinking, hook, line, and sinker. If I can't perceive it with my five senses, if I can't get it in my head and reason it, then I dismiss it. We have learned to scientifically destroy our souls in emptiness, knowing that there must be something beyond, but we're not pursuing after it, after all. And since the church as a whole has not demonstrated the power of the supernatural, the world has turned to occult sources. It uses sciences and drugs to get an out-of-this-world experience anymore. Because the Christians are not having any out-of-this-world experiences. They don't believe in them hardly anymore. Especially the Western Church. However, many in the body of Christ are beginning to realize once again that God still speaks to his people today. Many now accept the validity of prophecy, the validity of words of wisdom and words of knowledge, the validity of tongues and interpretations of tongues. And still yet, we as a church have not tapped into the vast area of visions and dreams. If you add the positive statements about dreams and visions in the Bible, and you add the great events that surround those visions and dreams, and the prophecies that came out of those visions and dreams, it amounts almost to the size of the New Testament in size. And yet, I'm not going to go there. Here are some of the well-known people who God spoke through dreams and visions. Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, Gideon, Solomon, Job, Elisha, Daniel, Ezekiel, Zacharias, Mary, Joseph, Peter, John, Paul, Ananias, and Jesus. In John chapter 5, verse 19, it says, then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing himself but what he sees the Father do. Jesus was in constant vision in the spiritual realm. And he is our example. And our vision is so blurred that we cannot see into the spirit realm anymore because we're tied up in the physical. Beside this once, God spoke to all of his prophets and many believers and unbelievers alike through dreams and visions were spoken to by God, such as Abimelech, Laban, the Egyptian Pharaoh, the chief butler, the chief baker in the time of Joseph, remember? Also the Pharaoh himself got a dream from the Lord. Balaam, the wicked prophet, Samuel, Nathan, Isaiah, David, King Nebuchadnezzar, a wicked king. Obadiah, Nahum, Habakkuk, and many, many others. There are a few of you here that have had visions and dreams from the Lord, and you have come to us and told us about them, and we have prayed and received more insight from the Lord as a result of our prayer and understanding of the vision and the dreams. And we have taken action with some peculiar acts that the Lord have asked us to do. And some activities based on those visions or dreams from the Lord. And in many instances, we have seen the results. And on some others, we're still watching and we're still praying about them. Amen. But there are still many that are part of the body of Christ that are very ignorant of his word and cannot judge not even thoughts, visions, dreams, or even comment from other people because they don't have knowledge of the word to measure those thoughts against. Then there are those of us that know the word, but we are so bent on reasoning things out and our intellect is so dominant that we don't give the Lord a chance to speak to us in our spirits because we want to make sense out of everything. We have become Pharisees and will not open ourselves to the Spirit of God to speak directly to our spirit man because we have concluded that the only way that truth comes to us is through the written word. And so we become Pharisees. But you know what happened to the Pharisees? They knew the word. They memorized it like we were talking about a while ago. They had it memorized, most of the Old Testament. They knew it. And the word became flesh and they refused it. And we do the same thing today. Oh, we got the written word. It says this, that, and the other. But when it comes to acting on it, that doesn't happen anymore. We reason it out, don't we? Other factors contributing to our ignorance of the subject of dreams and visions. One of those is we have so many idols in our hearts. We are concentrating on things rather than on the Lord. And the enemy takes advantage in our minds and speaks us to us through those idols. Lord, what do I have to do to get a new car? What do I have to do to fatten my checking account? You see, it's not the Lord we're concentrating on. Is the idols of our heart. The solution is to fix our eyes on Jesus and Jesus alone. Amen. He is the author and finisher, the perfecter of our faith. And we have to look unto him. You want stuff? You look at Jesus. You look at stuff, you miss Jesus, and you miss everything he's got for you. Apostle Paul says, as all things has been given to us, all things that pertain to life and godliness has been already been given. But we're so blind spiritually that we don't see them, and therefore we don't benefit from them. They have already been given, just like salvation has been given to all the world, and yet not the whole world has received it. Because some choose to stay blind. So we need to get rid of these idols in our heart. And that can only happen if we intently and singularly look at Jesus for all of what we need. Another item, we have a limited vision of God. We block the voice of God because of our limited vision. Many times we are looking for only a yes or a no from the Lord, when the Lord wants to reveal so many more creative possibilities. Lord, just tell me yes or no and I'll be done. He's not in a hurry. You seem to be. We limit him. Oh, we call him the creator of the universe, but he can't handle my affairs. They're just too complicated. He's too busy handling the universe. I don't want to bother him. That's a limited view. The solution is to be careful to approach the Lord with an openness to limitless solutions and possibilities. Listen, the Lord is very creative. Very creative. He created you. You're a funny fellow. Thirdly, many times we're not interested on spiritual things. We get content with the fact that we're saved and we're going to heaven. That does it for me. The rest we're going to handle the best we can. I got that assured. I got my ticket. So now I go about my business. But you don't realize that you have an enemy that is putting you to sleep spiritually. Amen. So that you do not become who Jesus made you to be. God doesn't want you to just get by. He wants you to have an abundant life here. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundant. And he was referring to this life here on earth. Let me ask you a question. Are you enjoying abundant life right now? If not, then the enemy is stealing it from you and from me. We're letting him. Don't let him. Wake up spiritually. Fourthly, we're too busy in worldly affairs. We do not properly prioritize what is important in this life. We're just like cattle. They run in herds, and one goes that way and the rest follow. We run led by the masses rather than by the Lord. The trend of the day, we have to look for the daily video, the latest thing. And you want to carry that phone, and then whenever it dings, there you are looking at it. Can't help it. I got to find out what's the latest thing. We're so distracted by the affairs of life that we're not giving the Lord time to speak to us. Lord, I'm too busy. You know, people in the Bible worked as much or more than you and I do to secure food, shelter, and the necessities of daily life. but their priorities were in line with what the Lord had instructed them. Joshua was a military man. And God tell him, make sure you keep your eyes on this word. Look at it day and night so that you can prosper, be in success. He didn't stop being a soldier. Part of being a soldier was looking at that word so that he can be led of the Lord to do the right battle. And he was always successful. They understood that God was their source. And when they followed after God with their hearts, then the Lord met them and conversed with them day and night as the Lord desired. And as we learn to listen, he will lead us to success in the affairs of our life. You know, God will not violate your free will. In scripture, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, God says that he desires that all men come to repentance. But many never do. Now, it is God's will that all men come to repentance, but never choose not to. Many choose not to. Therefore, God's perfect will is not always realized in each person's life. Are you going to be in that number? You can be out of that statistic. Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Is this happening in your life? I pray that all of you are sheep belonging to the shepherd, Jesus Christ. Are you hearing his voice? Are you following him? Does he know you? I'm sure that all of you have got a lot of acquaintances, but not many are called close friends. I'm sure that probably you got stats on your Facebook link, and you think, I'm famous. It is the will of the Lord for you to hear the shepherd's voice and to follow him. But we have to make our choice. We have to make it our will. I'm going to follow. I am going to learn to hear the shepherd's voice, and I'm going to learn to follow it. Because that will lead me to the abundant life he promised me. And when we devote ourselves to discern the voice of the shepherd, he will lead us to green pastures, to still waters. He will restore our souls, and he will lead us in paths of righteousness with goodness and mercy all the days of our life as we listen and as we follow. We have a few testimonies here in this house of how the Lord spoke with dreams and visions to one of us. It was 2014. That was 11 years ago. We found out that Henry County was number one in the state in unemployment. The poorest county with the most unemployment rate in the state. And we were number four in the nation. 2014. I'll get it straight. And we discovered that, and we were shocked to start with. And then we were embarrassed. And then we went to the Lord and said, Lord, this is not right. There are so many Christians in Hendry County. How come this is happening? And so we went to prayer. Say, Lord, this has to change. This is not what you intended for this county. And we're serving you. We have been called here, and we're doing your work here. And the enemy is stealing from this county. And so we got into prayer. And my wife got a vision from the Lord. It was not a big vision. It was just a word. The word was embezzlement. That word jumped at her in a vision, and she investigated, and she prayed to the Lord. And the Lord revealed that there had been so much embezzlement done in this county for so long that there was a curse in the county. And so we continued in prayer and fasting, seeking the Lord. What do we do about it, Lord? Here we are. Just tell us a strategy. And he did. Because of that single vision of a word, we gathered up Christians from every institution in Hendry County that we could find, where a Christian could represent that institution. And we went to the center of the courthouse in 2014, in October or November, somewhere in there. And we all prayed a prayer of repentance for what we had allowed in this county for such a long time. And I don't say that it happened instantly, but things began to shift in the county. Yes. A year later, we were no longer the number one unemployment county in the state. And we have done so much better now. The county started prospering. The city started renewing even the looks in the natural. And something broke in the spirit when people, the scripture said in 2 Chronicles 7:20, in my people who I'll call by my name, will humble themselves and pray and get rid of the evil ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will come and heal the land. Well, the land started healing here in Hendry County. And today we enjoy a much better stat than we used to have in 2014. Thanks to a vision from the Lord given to a saint, and we acted on it. How many opportunities do we have as a church body to do so many things in this city, in this county, in this state, in our families? The Lord is so eager to give us strategies so that we can be victorious in every area of our life. And we are sleeping and slumbering spiritually. Oh, let the preacher do the study and give us whatever, and we'll hear him and we'll go home and we'll wait for next week to another exciting message. In the meantime, we just go about our business. Is this what the Lord called you to be and to do? No. There are so many. Not only your life, not only your family, this community needs you to rise up spiritually. The Lord has a work. He wants to bring the kingdom of heaven and implement it on earth. And what are we doing about it? Oh, I got my ticket to go to heaven. I'm set. I just sit and rest. I pack my bags and wait on Jesus to come back. No, no, no. We have a battle to do. We have commission from the Lord. Visions and dreams. It's just another way that the Lord speaks to you and I. But we have to give him time. We have to stop being busy about stuff that some of it the next day is already old news. The next week, the next year. You spend $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 on a car, and 5 years later you have to get rid of it because it's a piece of junk. And you work how long to get the money to pay for it? How much sweat? For what? Build treasures in heaven. Amen. Where rust or moth does not destroy and thieves do not steal. It's about time to get serious in what you believe. If you believe Jesus is who he claims to be, he wants to speak to you. He wants to use you individually and critically to address the affairs that we have in this community, even in your own house, even in your own person. There's no need for the enemy to have a heyday with our lives. We can make a difference. Father, I thank you for giving us so many gifts and tools for us to be successful. And Father, we are just being content with the stuff that falls from the table, from the master's table. Lord, help us to see the big picture. Father, wake us up from the slumber that the enemy has lulled us in, Lord. Father, let your lightning thunder so loud that we are awakened into reality of who you are and what you have for us. You have created us to be a great people. You have called your church and you have given it all authority in heaven and earth. You have given us authority over all the power of the enemy, and we are doing absolutely nothing, hardly. Wake us up, Father. Wake us up. Don't allow the enemy to taunt us, to put us to sleep any longer. Father, give us a desire, burn within us that flame that once was lit and now has gone cold. Ignite within us a passion and a zeal to see your glory manifested through your church. Father, that the world will not run into the soothsayers and the divinators and all the other occult things that the enemy uses to trick people. Let the truth of your gifts flow through your church, through your servants, as you intended. And let your gospel shine brightly in a lost